Hello and welcome back to The Sweet Spot. It is myself, Warren Ashurst, and Steve Palmer with you. The Sweet Spot, of course, proudly sponsored by AK Bets. And we're here again to hear Steve's expert views on the week in golf ahead. Firstly, Steve, how are you feeling today?
I'm all right, Wazza. I feel sorry for you that your 100% record came to an end. I thought Thriston Lawrence was going to keep it going, but didn't quite manage to get the job done.
No, frustration in the end in terms of that. We'll look at the British Masters, of course, in more detail in a moment. Firstly, just to remind you of the AK Bets offer that we have for you. So the sponsor of The Sweet Spot, I've got an excellent welcome offer where you place your first bet on any golf market and get 50% of your stake back as a free bet up to £25. Terms and conditions apply, and make sure you use the code SWEETSPOT25 when signing up. Well, as ever, we're going to do chronological order in terms of last week's events, Steve, and we'll start off with the British Masters at the Belfry. You've already alluded to it. Thriston the Piston Lawrence so close to making it three wins in a row, but he was pipped in the end by Nicholas Norgaard, another first-time winner on the DP World Tour.
Yeah, we've been following him for a while. He was a 45-1 winner last week. The artist formerly known as Nicholas Norgaard Muller, he's ditched the Muller from his name now. A couple of years ago, he decided to become Nicholas Norgaard on the European Tour. One of the most powerful ball strikers on the circuit. His ball striking is a joy to behold when he's in full swing. Course management's been an issue. Chipping's been an issue. Putting's been an issue. He can be extremely wild. I remember tipping him in 2022 for the Maiden Himmerland in his homeland of Denmark. And it's one I'll never forget. He was about 80-1 for that. And he was just on the fringes of contention, going quite nicely. He had one hole left in the second round. And I was parked outside. I was picking up my wife from work, parked outside the hospital to pick up my wife from work and following it on the app. And he made a 10. He made a 10 on that hole. It was a par four. He dropped six shots in one hole. He was 16 yards from the green in three shots. So that shows you how his chipping used to be an issue. That stunned me that day. That's why it's cemented in my brain there. The wife came out seconds after the 10 had been registered. I was like, hello, Dan, you have a nice day at work.
Why the tears, Steve? Yeah.
Nicholas Norgaard's just made a 10. But he's always had that ability, but self-destruct button's never been far from him. And I thought on the 15th hole on Sunday he was going to do it again, because he had chipping mares again late on. But now he's over the line, maybe the rough edges will fall off and he'll go from strength to strength. Clearly got loads of ability.
Well, if we hadn't been on Thriston the Piston Lawrence, then we might well have said, great, well done, Nicholas, because you've kind of got over your demons, so to speak. But the fact that that 10 that you mentioned and what went on, of course, in the latter stages at the Belfry, you must have been thinking that Lawrence might just pip him.
Yeah. I mean, Lawrence got within a shot, didn't he, at one point? And Lawrence's iron play all week was absolutely superb, just churning out greens in regulation, but didn't hold his fair share. I'd say Saturday was the only round where he would have come off the course feeling he hold his fair share, just have one good putting round. The rest, it was really disappointing. The missed Tiddler on the 12th, really turning the screw on Sunday, and then missed a Tiddler on the 12th. That was a gut buster. But we had to settle for the place money off our number one tip. And then our number two tip fought back really well.
Matt Wallace.
Yeah. Matt Wallace got off to a horror start. Reminded me very much of Tom McKibben's start in the Czech Masters, because they both came out putting abysmally. Like, McKibben produced one of the worst putting performances he's ever done in the first round of that Czech Masters. And then Wallace, again, setting up chance after chance in round one. Nothing was dropping. He opened with a 76. And then, he's struggling to make the cut, obviously. And then he fought his way back to eighth place. So, Lawrence and Wallace, no regrets being on them. Golf is golf.
Before we leave the British Masters, well, one thing to note firstly before we ask if there was anybody else to caught your eye, Steve, is that, again, great crowds. Even on the Thursday, the amount of people that were there supporting the event was excellent. Just looking at the sort of rest of the leaderboard, Rasmus Højgaard, good to see him back up and around the top of the leaderboard. Matteo Manassero with a top six finish as well. Was there anything that particularly caught your eye elsewhere?
Yeah, the crowds are fantastic, and they always are. The British events are always so well attended, and the Irish events, of course, and the Scottish events. It'd be great if we could have more of them, wouldn't it? You're absolutely right. The atmosphere is always fantastic. Rasmus Højgaard, really eye-catching final round. Very, very tempting this week. He's been well backed already. Rasmus is not one of our tips for the European Masters that's coming up, but that final round 65 was a real eye catcher. Tyrrell Hatton obviously needs to be discussed. Short price favourite last week, even shorter price favourite at the halfway mark. Open with rounds of 69, 65. It's a tale of two halves for Hatton. 76, 74 over the weekend. So it gave the sort of the Liv naysayers a chance to have a little dig there. It was a short run. He's not used to playing on Thursdays. And then he got a bit tired out by the time the weekend came, you know. Hatton backers would have been fuming with how that turned out.
Well, let's turn our attentions now to the PGA Tour, the Tour Championship, which, you know, much was expected, Steve, and ultimately Scottie Scheffler won it pretty comfortably. I mean, four shots in the end might not seem too comfortable over Colin Morikawa, but never really looked like getting caught from round one, did he?
Well, it was an 11-10 winner, wasn't it? You know, I feel foolish for turning my back on it so spectacularly. I got it horribly wrong last week. I thought 11-10 was a poor price, but his temperament is just amazing, isn't it? You know, Scheffler's temperament is amazing, and he proved it last week. He was uncharacteristically tetchy in the playoffs, wasn't he? The first two playoffs events, really angry man. And he mentioned it in his post-round media conference on Sunday at East Lake. He noticed what a bad mood he was in. He held his hands up and said, "I was in a terrible mood." And he spoke to his team about it after the BMW Championship, and his team sat him down. They said, "Look, the number one reason why you've dominated this year is your attitude. You know, that's the best club in your bag is your attitude." Yeah. And it's not been right in the first two playoff events. And he said, okay. So they made a conscious effort to correct his attitude in Atlanta. And, it worked spectacularly. He was back to being cool, calm and collected. I think you saw that with the response to the shank. He shanked one. You see the shank? He shanked one on the eighth hole. On the eighth hole on Sunday. And he just handles adversity. So a lot of players, you know, particularly amateurs, just crumble when they hit a shank and they can't recover mentally. You know, Scheffler's response to that. Yeah, the lead was down to two shots at that point after the shank. Morikawa was turning the screw. You know, Scheffler's throwing away the FedEx Cup again. And he birdied the next three holes, was it? just peppered pins and birdied the next three holes. Yeah, that bounce back ability is unrivaled.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget the ultimate bit of bounce back ability was the USPGA. He spent the morning in a prison cell. He spent the afternoon shooting a 66 in a major. the bounce back ability of Scheffler is immense, and he obviously fully deserved champion. And the 14th hole on Sunday, the eagle, it's just like the icing on the cake of an amazing season, wasn't it? The eagle, it's game over. It's a killer blow. The eagle. He's won the FedEx Cup. He's the player of the year. The power and the glory. Everything goes to the chef.
Yeah, I have to say, just a reminder, the Masters champion, the Olympic gold medalist, you know, and the first man since Tiger Woods in 2007 to win seven PGA tournaments in the season, which just highlights just what a fantastic year it's been for Scottie Scheffler. Quick word on Colin Morikawa, because he pushed him hard, as hard as he could, Steve, all the way, and good signs for him.
Well, it's amazing, really, because Scheffler started off in front. And he putted well. He was the third best putter in the field. Mm. And we know what happens when Scheffler puts well. He's normally unbeatable when they start on a level playing field. So Morikawa can be proud with the fight he put up there. He was the lowest 72 hole scorer of the week. So if it was a conventional event, Morikawa would have been the champion. But he's got a whole season without a win. You know, he's not won anything this year. There's a few players. So Patrick Cantlay is another one. You'd be surprised he's gone for another year without winning. But he got a nice check for his efforts, didn't he, Morikawa? $12.5 million for finishing second. So not half of what it. It's not bad, is it? Half of what Scotty got. I did. Morikawa, we won in the previous week. I was pretty angry with myself for how my selections went last week. You know, I thought we could get the short price favourite beaten and well wide of the mark. That's the third time in six tour championships under this handicap that the leader has won. But it's the first time that the FedEx Cup leader going into the playoffs has won, actually. It's normally what you do in the playoffs, it seems to count for the ultimate prize.
And to be honest, when you bear in mind what Scheffler had done the previous week, Steve, I don't think anybody could complain in terms of your thoughts on where he was at. We've got to mention Sahith Theegala, 66-64 over the weekend. Brilliant effort from him. And he seems to be a player who's getting to that level now where we could see him challenge for majors. I wanted to pick up as well on the fact that he called himself on a two-shot penalty, which I think I read cost him somewhere in the region of $5 or $6 million on the way. He's played a bunch of shot. He looks like everything's fine. And he said that actually, as he moved the club back from behind the ball, he brushed the sand and called it himself. And, you know, I'm not going to mention any other names of other people who may well have tried to hide that in the past. But, I mean, you have to take your hat off to him for the way that he did that.
Well, yeah, $6 million for a clear conscience. You know, I like to go to bed at night knowing I've got a clear conscience. I've never done anything significantly wrong in life. If you offered me $6 million to not have that comfort, maybe I wouldn't take it. And yeah, all credit to Sahith Thagala. I think I know who you're talking about, who may have, there's a big rumpus when a certain 2018 Masters champion did a bit of sand brushing at the Hero World Challenge, was it? I think I know what you're getting at. But yeah, Sahith Thagala, we all love Sahith Thagala, and we love him even more after that. And he provided another example of someone charging from off the pace. So he was well off the pace and then got himself in the mix. And there's been lots of naysayers, you know, saying this format shouldn't exist like this. There are people criticising the Tour Championship and think the playoffs format is wrong. Obviously, if the handicap leader plays really well, like Scheffler did, it has the potential to be a dull event. But I don't think we should throw the baby out with the bathwater here, because we've seen in the past players coming from deep and winning it. Rory McIlroy was six shots behind in 2022 and won the FedEx Cup. He was actually 10 shots behind, I was on him that year, so I remember. He was 10 shots behind with 70 holes to go. He made a terrible start, if you remember right. So McIlroy's proven that you can come from 10 shots behind in a four-round event and win it. So I think the format is much maligned, but works. And as a punter, you know, I always look at things through the punting focus. I like the fresh challenge that it brings. You know, it can be a bit boring looking at the same events every week. So the fresh challenge of whether you go with the short price favourite or not, obviously I messed it up this year, but, you know, there's been times, I remember when I backed Dustin Johnson, he was the leader, the handicap leader in 2020. And he was about 2-1, I believe. And I was on Johnson. That was one of the most fun bets I've ever had, you know, being on the leader and then him kicking clear. You know, as a punter, I absolutely love it. I was thinking about it this morning. Whenever you look at a greyhound racing car, I don't know if you like greyhound racing, did you like?
I've been before.
I've been a few times. What's your local track up there? Have you got,
think I've been to Sheffield a couple of times. I've also been to Kingsley, which is near Wakefield as well.
Ah, yes. Well, Sheffield's one of the fairest tracks in the country. But the point I was going to make is, like, how exciting is it when you look at the car, there's a handicap race on the car? Yeah, you know, they just brings a frisson of excitement. Yeah, the variety. Variety is the spice of life. And obviously the difference with the greyhounds is in the handicaps, the best player, the best dog is at the back of the pack and comes charging through. You know, there's nothing more exciting than being on trap six and handicap, knowing that you're on the best dog that's coming through. So it's the opposite, the best player typically at the front of the grid for the Tour Championship. But I still like the variety,
it out as well, Steve, is, you know, this is not like it's happened every year. This is a bit of a one-off, really, because most of the time the leaders have been caught in this sort of format. So I don't think we can get too carried away on this.
No. It's just a fresh puzzle. And, the punting game needs a bit of excitement here and there. And, I think the naysayers are going a bit far with their criticism, because there's no obvious solution. Everyone always remembers the 2018 Tour Championship, when Tiger Woods won the Tour Championship, Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup. And that was a wonderful occasion and it was fantastic. And we're all looking back all misty-eyed about that one. But there have been some rubbish ones out of the old format. That was the last one under the old format. There were some rubbish ones where they're like undeserving winners, like Bill Haas. When Bill Haas got one out of the water, and there were certain players that have won the FedEx Cup that perhaps shouldn't have done in terms of being the season long champion, that the best player of the year. There's no easy solution to this. So
So I've just stick with just, it. That's basically
stick with it. Stick with it. Stick with it. And we'll do better next year, I promise.
We'll look ahead to the European Masters in a moment, but before we completely leave the PGA Tour, Steve, this season, it's been an intriguing season in terms of how many first time winners. You know, the performances of Scheffler and Schauffele along the way as well. Any standouts for you, or anybody that you kind of are keeping a close eye on ahead of next season?
Well, I think it's the names that haven't won that's most interesting, really. You look at Ludwig Elbert, my favourite player. I was expecting him to win more titles this year. I expected him to win last week, but he hasn't actually. He's played well, but he just hasn't actually won. Colin Morikawa's not won. Patrick Cantlay has not won. The Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth era. Neither of them have won. Jordan Spieth finally having surgery on his wrist. I've been urging him to do that all year, so he's off to have surgery. He might be having it this week or last week, so he'll be making a later start next year with a better body. So let's see how Jordan Spieth comes back. But it's interesting because the President's Cup's coming up, a couple of weeks. In the olden days, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, big alliance in that, but won't be happening this time.
Nope. Team Golf will take centre stage shortly because we've got the Solheim Cup coming up, of course, as well in the next couple of weeks. So plenty to look forward to there. But we should mention that, of course, there is plenty of golf action this weekend. I say plenty, basically one tournament, but it will be a quality tournament. The European Masters at Cranstoun is what we're looking forward to. I'll run you through the latest show of betting in a moment with AK Bets. But firstly, Steve, what can we expect from this spectacular golf course?
Yeah, it's a cracker. I mean, all eyes are on this course, and because there's only one golf tournament this week, and what a place to put your eyes upon. Clanfirth, Clans Montana, Switzerland, 6,823 yards, par 70, only three par fives. The course is at altitude, so it plays even shorter than the yardage. There's been a tour event at Crans every year since 1972, apart from 2020 when it was cancelled for COVID. Thierry Balatheiroff redesigned the layout in 1999, put loads of runoff areas around the greens. The greens are small, firm, unreceptive, fiddly little track, this tree-lined fairways, lots of undulations, and we got an unsettled weather forecast as well this week. Looks like we're going to get plenty of rain on Thursday, some lesser showers later in the week, cool temperatures, gets really chilly at times this week, no wind, but tee to green accuracy essential, sound course management required. 156 players going to post.
And we'll see which of those 156 players Steve will be selecting in a moment. But in terms of the AK Bets betting for this European Masters, Matt Fitzpatrick is the 10-1 favourite. Tristan the Piston Lawrence is 18-1. Matt Wallace, Rasmus Højgaard, both 20-1. His 25s, Erik van Rooyen, Matteo Manassero and Nikolai Højgaard. And Bernd Wiesberger and Sebastian Soderberg are both 28-1. They're the names at the top of the betting. But firstly, let's find out how many selections, Steve, for this week.
We got five. Only one golf tournament this week. I'm happy with a five-pronged attack.
And who is your lead tip for the European Masters?
It's Matt Wallace, 20-1 with AK Bets. Keeping the faith with Wallace after his brilliant comeback effort last week. I think that fight back showed a newfound maturity. He used to be a real hothead, get so angry, had a different caddy every week because he had lots of on-course explosions and arguments with them. I think in the past, that first round last week, he would have lost the plot completely. Mm. But last week, it was different. He dusted himself down, carded three consecutive rounds of 68, finished eighth. It was a really solid start to his bid to become a Ryder Cup player. It was the first week that Ryder Cup points were up for grabs. So he turned it into a decent week. I think he's going to build on that at Cranstoun, where he lost a playoff in 2022. He closed with a 65 last year for 24th place. So we know he can handle this course. He won six times on the Alps Tour in 2016. Four of those wins came in countries which border Switzerland. He likes teeing off in the Alps. He's in solid form. We mentioned last week that he's been playing well in better events than DP World Tour grade. He was 24th in the 3M Open on the PGA Tour, 28th in the Wyndham Championship. So, four-time DP World Tour champion. I strongly expect him to contend on Sunday.
OK, so Matt Wallace is the first of five selections. Who's our next best here, Steve?
Bernd Wiesberger, 28-1 with AK Bets. He's dangling a price for us there. I think he's keen to take on Bernd Cheeseburger because he's we've been on him a lot lately. Yeah, we're having another crack at Bernd Cheeseburger. I think he's going to provide a tasty lunchtime treat for us on Sunday, Wazza. He's an Austrian, of course, comfortable playing in the Alps, playing at altitude, holds no fears for him. He won the Lioness Open in Austria on the DP World Tour in 2012. He's won three DP World Tour events in countries which border Switzerland. He was sixth in the 2012 European Masters at Cranz, got loads of course experience here. He was second in 2021. This is his first Cranz start since that. He's had his time on LIV, as we've discussed. Now he's back on the DP World Tour, hitting his ball as well as ever. He was second in the European Open in June, seventh in the KLM Open, sixth in the Czech Masters in the middle of last month. So he would just need a half-decent putting round from the cheeseburger, and he's a surefire title contender.
Just before we get Steve's third pick, I have noticed that AK has not put any 33-1 shots this week, Steve. Oh. Bearing in mind, you had a couple of 33-1 shot winners, and I just wonder whether there's anything in that. But yeah, we'll go back to that maybe a bit later. The third of the five tips, though, who are we looking at next?
He's learned his lesson. The third is Rao Hisasuna. Rao Hisasuna. 40-1 with AK Betts. A rising star of the game. A seemingly fearless Japanese youngster. He's made rapid career strides. He seems so comfortable traveling planet Earth, banking big checks all over the world. He turns 22 next week. Maybe he will have a shiny new trophy to go with his birthday cake. It all happened so quickly for him. He turned pro in 2020. He won three times on the Japan Challenge Tour in 2021. He won that money list. He finished seventh at DP World Tour Q School in 2022. Then he won the French Open last year. DP World Tour Rookie of the Year. Got a PGA Tour card from his Race to Dubai ranking. And then this year, as a PGA Tour rookie, he's finished 84th in the FedEx Cup. Fantastic effort. Five top 20s. He was 18th in the USPGA. He was third in the Wyndham Championship last month ago, about a month ago. And then I think he made a scheduling error. He played in the Czech Masters the following week. He was absolutely knackered and missed the cut. Freshened up since then. I expect him to contend at Cranz. He made his debut there last year, finished 13th, 9 under par for the weekend.
40-1 with AK Betts as well, our third selection. Are we going bigger for selection number four, Steve?
We're going slightly shorter than our last one's a massive price. So the slightly shorter one is Alex Fitzpatrick. I can't resist Alex Fitzpatrick. 35-1 with AK Betts. I think he's the most likely maiden to make a breakthrough this week. His brother can obviously give him some sound advice. Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick's tactics have worked really well at Cranthirthier, two-time champion. But it's Alex who's playing the better golf at the moment. He was sixth in the Czech Masters in the middle of last month. And then he was 12th in the British Masters last week. He closed with a 68. Only four players outscored him at the Belfry on Sunday. He's won on the Challenge Tour. I've always thought he's good enough to win on the DP World Tour. And I think Cranz is an excellent fit. He's strong on approach. His chipping is great around these tiny greens. And he finished fifth there on his debut last year. He was just behind Matt last year. Matt was third. Alex was fifth. I think Alex is the Fitzpatrick brother to be on this week.
Surely a matter of time before Alex Fitzpatrick is a winner, you would say, on the DP World Tour. So that's four of the five selections from Steve Palmer this week. Steve, what is your final pick?
It's a 125-1 chance with AK Betts, and it's Darius Van Driel, who was a hero for us in the Kenya Open in February. That was his maiden DP World Tour title. He appreciated the test of driving accuracy in Kenya. He gets another one this week. Yeah, you want to be playing from the fairways at Cranz. This is a precise Dutchman. He could easily contend for this at a massive price. He finished 10th in the Czech Masters last time out at a less suitable track. You know, a fiddly course in Switzerland this week. Much more his cup of tea. He started his pro career on the Alps Tour in 2015. He actually won the Alps Tour Order of Merit in 2015. His first Challenge Tour victory came in Austria in 2018. His second Challenge Tour victory came in Switzerland, the 2019 Rolex Trophy. So he's back in Switzerland this week as a big price outsider, a lively outsider. He was 23rd at Cranz in 2022. That was only his second start in the event. He was in dismal form coming to Cranz last year and missed the cut by a shot. He's 190 places better in the world rankings 12 months later this week.
Okay, so Darius Van Driel is the fifth and final selection. As ever, Steve, around about now, we normally look and say, was there anybody who just missed the list? I know you picked five selections for this only event this week on the DP World Tour, but was there somebody else that was maybe in the back of your mind?
It was a hard tournament. Yeah, there were some others. I mean, the favourite doesn't interest me. I think Matt Fitzpatrick's poor value. We know he likes the course. Two-time Cranz champion, runner-up in 2015, third last year. But from the US Open onwards, he's been bang average. You know, he injured his right thumb at the Olympics. You know, he would have been heartbroken without the Olympics when he withdrew after a third round 81. Didn't qualify for the Tour Championship. So he's been pretty underwhelming lately. I think his brother will beat him this week. So no interest in the favourite. But yeah, Rasmus, we mentioned Rasmus 65 at the Belfry. It was really impressive. But, you know, he's already been well backed. The price has gone to a degree. I just couldn't pull the trigger on Rasmus because he has lots of injury problems. I mean, the two that I found it really difficult to ignore were Rasmus and Thriston the Piston. Yeah, both can be a little bit brittle with the injury issues. And it's going to be some really cold mornings this week in Cranz. Yeah. Lawrence had some back problems after the Open. So maybe he'll just get some back issues that creep in again. He missed some tiddlers, as we discussed. So there are small reasons for thinking Lawrence might not be the one to be on. And then Rasmus has had wrist problems. You're never really sure. You know, a chilly morning might find him out, find out his wrist again. But yeah, they're very, very, yeah, you can't have them all, Water.
When you said that the last one was going to be quite a big price, I was looking down the list and I'm trying to predict who it might be that you were picking. I thought maybe David Rovetto might come to mind with 80 to 1. Bearing in mind he's won recently, and that was a fiddly course that he won on as well.
Well, I'm not going to put you off, Wadzer. I'm actually going to encourage you further because his team won the Pro-Am yesterday. They have two Pro-Ams at the European Masters. The first one, the sort of lesser players playing, and then the bigger guns come in on the second one. Some players play both. Wiesberger finished 10th in the first Pro-Am, but Rovetto's team won it. Read into that what you will, but obviously he's full of confidence and obviously very comfortable at this venue. You know, it's a French-speaking area. But it is a wide-open event, but you can't have them all. So, yeah, getting it down to five was hard enough. I mean, Lucas Nemec, we were on Lucas Nemec the other day. I think this course sets up well for him. So, yeah, they were the names on my list. There was eight names on my short list, and I've narrowed it down to five by getting rid of Hoggard, Nemec, and Lawrence.
So, five selections for this week's European Masters at Cran-sur-Sierre. And just a reminder now of those five picks, Steve.
Matt Wallace, Bernd Wiesberger, Raahe Hirsasuna, Alex Fitzpatrick, and Darius van Driel.
Excellent. They are your five selections then. And as we said, don't forget, of course, to check out all the prices with AK Bets ahead of the event, which gets underway on Thursday. Steve's been, I have to say, you've been bright and bubbly as ever this week, but I think we can expect you to be even more so next week because you've only got a couple more days until the kids go back to school.
Yeah, and then we've got a quadruple header next week. Oh. Right? We got Live Golf Chicago, Solheim Cup, as you mentioned, is next week, and then our usual fare. So four tournaments next week, quadruple header. I'm going to the cricket on Friday, I'm hoping... That'll freshen me up for next week's quadruple header. It's my it's my 10th wedding anniversary on Friday, So I'm doing the ultimate romantic gesture and leaving the house at 6:45 a.m. to go and watch the cricket with my mate. So
I was about to say you were taking your wife to the cricket. Everything up. No, you're not.
It's been a controversial clash there, Wazza. England, Sri Lanka. Hopefully it doesn't rain. I'll probably get punished by a day of rain.
Well, I think the weather's not too bad, the forecast at the moment, so fingers crossed to get plenty of cricket. I'm not sure. I assume you're not going on day five.
Because it doesn't seem to be going that well at the
moment, right? I think you'll just be all right then if that's the case. Now, you're right. Some big golf to come next week, of course. Live Golf, we mentioned. You said the Solheim Cup is also the Irish Open as well, which will have a quality field, I'm sure, on the DP World Tour. Like you mentioned earlier on, always a big crowd as well at the Irish Open.
Yeah. Next week would be great fun. Yeah, obviously we'll be going for an each way quadruple. This week hopefully build some funds for our multiples attack next week, and we can save up for our Oasis tickets when all that wins. Did you get one in the end? Was
I actually did? You know,
you did? I'm so jealous.
And not personally. I got it via a friend because I got twice to the basket to buy, and it crashed on me. And I was absolutely livid. And then my whole day turned on its head when later that evening, a friend said, I've got you a ticket.
What a friend.
What a guy. And Manchester as well. So looking forward to that very much. Yeah. Were you frustrated?
Yeah. I had a day of hell. Yeah. I was on it all day. And you did keep crashing when you get to the key moments. And you know, I gave up at about 9 p.m. having been at it, you know, all day. But yeah, I'll negotiate with you after we've wrapped up this broadcast, and you know,
I am jealous though that you're actually going to the cricket as well. But yeah, we're not quite that much. Thanks very much to Steve for his five selections then today. As I said, we'll be back with plenty to look forward to next Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel, including that Irish Open, of course, and the Solheim Cup. Don't miss that. And then in the meantime, of course, always like, comment, share, and subscribe. Enjoy your golf this week. And remember to gamble responsibly.